worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister'? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife, take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Verses 1 through 20, Genesis chapter 12. Then briefly looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." All of Psalm 23. Father, thank you once again for your word, and thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on your word. And thank you for the ways that you speak directly to us in the now of our very existence every day as we open your word and allow you to speak words of life, words of wisdom, words of grace, words of power into our lives. More and more, help us to recognize the need for us to live in your word, to look to your word continually, and to trust you in your word as you guide us step by step. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to lift high your name. We come to magnify you. We want people to think much of you. We want to praise and adore you today. You're such a good God to us. Thank you, Father, for your kindnesses, your loving kindness that you have shown us in years past, showing us today, and will show us throughout eternity. What a wonderful God you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'd like to remind you to please take time to go to the AFA Resource Center. Visit the AFA Resource Center and you'll find online features and exclusive products to help equip you with the tools you need to be a transformative voice in our culture. This is a marketplace to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to transform American culture. You'll find many resources there, including two of my books as well, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life, and the book, The Intercession Chronicles. Also, please take time to check out the AFR Prayer Journal. It's perfect for jotting down prayer requests, taking sermons, notes, or making notes of things the Lord shows you during your quiet time. Stop by and pick up some great resources. Join thousands of others in helping to transform American culture. Visit AFA Resource Center. Again, resources.afa.net. Again, resources.afa.net. Hope you'll take the time to do just that. We are honored to have as our guest today, very honored and blessed to have Dr. Paul Kosko. He's a medical doctor and lives in the state of Mississippi. Dr. Kosko, how are you this morning?
Very good, Joe. And I'm very happy to be with you today.
Okay.
Take it from there.
An honor to have you on. And if you would, Dr. Kosko, take a moment to tell our listeners a little bit more about you, introduce yourself in your own way, and in a few moments, of course, you're going to share your journey as a Christian doctor and some very powerful insights as well. But would you take a moment just a little bit further, introduce yourself to our listeners?
Very good. I came to Mississippi as an 18-year-old, went to college at Ole Miss. I was on the track team, on a scholarship, came here from Ohio, had family in the state of Mississippi, and that made it easier for me to come, met my wife, taking organic chemistry at Ole Miss back, and anyway, got married, started young family life, had a firstborn child in 73. He was obviously handicapped at birth. As the years went on, we could tell that he was both physically and mentally handicapped, but we persevered through that and eventually decided that he needed a baby brother or a baby sister to be an advocate for him. During that time, that all went well for us. He grew, his younger brothers grew. I could tell there was a God. I didn't know more than that, except that I knew that there was a God in this world and in this universe. Mm-hmm. At that time, I felt that I should try to do what was expected. I started earning my way to heaven in my own eyes. Mm. Then, later, after all four of my children were born, I became sick. I got high blood pressure. I got an ulcer. A very painful stomach ulcer. Worse than all of that, I developed insomnia. Couldn't sleep. I would go days and days without sleeping. And at night, when the family was asleep, I would be up. And the only thing I found to do at that time of the day was to read. I read everything in the house. One night I started reading the Bible, reading 1 John, Gospel of John, 2 John, 3 John, Isaiah. I just was reading through the Bible. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the night, all of a sudden, I developed goose flesh, and I realized that I was not reading the words of man. I realized that I was reading the words of God. and that they were true. And it was so true that words do not describe how true Scripture was to me. Goose flesh all over me, but I had peace.
Hmm.
The very next weekend, went to church, and for the first time, I heard the gospel with spiritual ears and a spiritual heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the effect that was intended by the Holy Spirit. It drew me. I knew that it was the Holy Spirit working, and I knew that this was for me. I knew that I was saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. I had never known that before. I just thought you were supposed to work your way to heaven previously.
Mm-hmm.
But I now realize that Christ did all the work, that I was just a recipient.
Dr. Kosko, I'm going to jump in here real quick and just share this. For persons that are listening to now, tonight at this time, there may be people that are listening that are in a very similar place to where Dr. Kosko was before he started reading his Bible. You're wondering if God really exists or if he cares about you, has any concern for you, but you've never come to know him for yourself. I want to challenge you to do what Dr. Kosko did. Start just reading the Bible. The Word of God is just that, God's words of wisdom, words of grace, words of life. And the most important decision in life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So, Father, thank you for every person listening. And if there's any who are listening now who don't know you as Lord and Savior, touch them, open their eyes and their heart to you, and Lord, move upon them. Just send someone along in that person's path who will share the gospel with them clearly so that they too will come to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. Just do a miraculous work like you did in Dr. Kosko's life in this way. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, Dr. Kosko, if you'll just pick up right there. So you got saved the Sunday after God had begun to speak to you powerfully through his word as you were just simply reading the Bible during the night. Is that right?
That is correct. I was about 38, 39 years old at the time, and that's when it happened. And it's been a blessing ever since. Ever since. It's just a completely different life. I had different friends than before. Everything about me was different. My ulcer went away. My blood pressure didn't, but it came under control. My insomnia was gone.
Hmm.
Everything that you could imagine was looking up for me, and I just couldn't get enough of God's word, and I couldn't get enough of hearing the gospel preached.
Hmm.
Couldn't get enough of it. It just, to this day, I never tire of hearing the gospel message of salvation through grace, not of your own, but from him.
Hmm.
And that's been my life since then. Apparently, right during those early years, it came upon me that I should do something about the abomination of abortion in our land.
Dr. Kosko, we're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. Paul Kosko, and he's sharing his journey as a Christian doctor. We'll be right back.
The brokenhearted, and you brought the dead. it to life, forgetting all our sins. You remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing. Forever our God, you're more than enough. You are amazing.
The music of Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Paul Kosko, a Christian doctor. And before Dr. Kosko comes back, I want to share briefly from the book of Psalm 19 specifically. Psalm 19 beginning at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is sure, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, thank you, Lord, for every believer listening today. Father, do a mighty work in the heart of every single one of us to cause us to grow in our love for you and our love for your word and our commitment to read and meditate on your word every single day. Father, I pray that you would do a work in us so that more and more we would recognize the great blessings and the benefits of filling our minds and our hearts with your word. Thank you for the work you did in Dr. Kosko's life in speaking to him and drawing him to yourself through the reading of scripture. More and more open our eyes to this being one of the many blessings that come to us as we're diligent students of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, our phone guest today is Dr. Paul Kosko. He's a Christian doctor. And Dr. Kosko, you had shared on the other side of the break how that you had insomnia and you started reading the Bible and God began to speak to you mightily through his word. And that following Sunday you went and the Lord saved you and made you brand new. So that's a powerful testimony. What word of encouragement would you share with listeners about why reading God's word is so important for all of us?
Well, let me just give one example. So I'm reading the word of God, and it is affecting the way I do things in life in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading the Bible, and in the Old Testament, I learned from God's word, and that's what it is, God's word,
mm-hmm.
that his prophet was known to him before he was born.
Mm-hmm.
He made him in the secret place.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a human being before he was born.
Mm-hmm.
He had value. He was created in the image of God.
Amen.
And there he was. And then we learn in the Newer Testament that Elizabeth was present with Mary coming to see her, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy at the approach of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And her unborn son's Savior. So we know that the unborn are valuable mm-hmm. to God.
That's right.
Well, like I say, when I read Scripture, it affects what I do in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I became convicted that the unborn should be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And I decided with some Christian friends to go down one Saturday morning to an abortion clinic and try to prevent abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Not with physical altercation or anything like that, but that we would be a presence there outside that abortion clinic with our desire that abortion not occur that Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was put in jail. Spent the weekend, two nights in jail, waiting on the let me out. Didn't worry about my future or anything like that because I knew the Lord would take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think during that time in jail, I said to myself, well, at least I won't have to say I did nothing to prevent or alter the course of abortion in this country.
So
I'll be able to say I didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do what could have been done, but at least I didn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Costco, so what you're saying is you went to a location where there was an abortion clinic, and you were, along with others, were involved with seeking to discourage people from getting abortions, and you ended up getting arrested in the midst of that. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I sure did.
Okay. And, of course, you were a medical doctor at this time, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, so after you got arrested, you said you were there a couple days, and then you got out. What took place after that happened?
Well, I was afraid that I would be an embarrassment to my church and to my family, but I wasn't. They were very supportive, and they did not feel the least bit embarrassed about me having done that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something that comes to my mind, Dr. Costco, is that you're actually in great company. The reality is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, got arrested for a righteous cause. The Apostle Paul got arrested numerous times for righteous causes. And down through the history of the church, there have been people who've been imprisoned and martyred for the cause of Christ. And so, again, the fact that you stood up for a righteous cause, standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion, again, you're in great company. So, powerful story there. And so basically, people appreciated and could really see the value behind what you did. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. I realized that some of our earthly authors, like the writer of the Scarlet Letter, who condemned young woman who had a out of wedlock baby, and her pastor, who was the father of her child, they were treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days, apparently, people condemned people who had unwanted pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that that's man's knowledge, not God's knowledge.
That's right.
We don't want to tell young women that have unwanted pregnancies that they're any less than the rest of us. We're all sinners.
Mm.
No one No one is without sin except our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love them. We realize that they had trials and tribulations just like the rest of us, and they are welcome in our fellowship.
You know, Dr. Costco, that is such an important message for the church to trumpet in this day and time, in that because we live in a society that can be very harsh and condemning, yet the fact is, you know, as the Lord at one point said, when there were people trying to condemn a woman caught in adultery in Scripture, he said, "He that is without sin cast the first stone." And of course, the only person that could have cast a stone was Jesus himself. And of course, he clearly didn't do it. He loved the woman in spite of that. And, you know, I think of this, Dr. Costco, one of the reasons why I see where, like, the Lord has allowed myself and my wife, Bertie, to be a part of, as I've shared with you, we're in the process of raising the funds to purchase a mobile pregnancy unit that will be serving in the southern part of the Mississippi Delta. One of the great needs in the body of Christ is for the church to be stirred to recognize that we need to have the passion of God, the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ for the women who find themselves pregnant at a difficult time in life, to love them and the babies in their wombs as well. And yet, sadly, we live in a culture where many people, even many who say they love Jesus, who will say that abortion's okay. In fact, will advocate for abortion. And that's so tragic because there's such a need for the church to rise up and be the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your church. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being your hands and feet in the world. And Father, I thank you for the ministry of pregnancy clinics all over our nation and all over the world as well. Father, raise up more and more pregnancy clinic ministries. But Father, even more than that, raise up more believers who recognize the need for us to love people like you do. Help us to recognize that many times these women who find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult time are afraid and they're fearful. And many times that's why they even are tempted to look at the tragedy of abortion. But help us as the church to be wise and full of your grace enough to recognize that it's our job to flood these women and these persons with your love, your grace, and your peace in such a way that they recognize that you love them, you love the babies inside them, and that the church can embrace them and come alongside them and help them to go through this difficult period in their lives and help them to recognize that that baby inside of them is not a curse, but is a blessing, a gift sent to the world, and that baby happens to be coming through that particular mom. And Lord, help us as the church to recognize, Lord, that's why we're here. We're here to share your love with a world that desperately needs to see it and to feel it. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, Dr. Costco, I want to ask specifically at this point, would you pray specifically for our ministry? It's Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, and we're in the midst of raising the funds to purchase a mobile unit. But a big part of what we'll be doing also is helping to, you might say, quote-unquote, educate the church by the power of the Holy Spirit about how to love women at a difficult time in their lives. Would you pray for this ministry at this time?
Yes, sir. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we really are standing in the need of your grace. We're standing in the need of you being God.
Thank you, Lord.
To this ministry.
Jesus.
That you would take this and use it to bring honor and glory to you.
Thank you.
And to call more and more people into your kingdom. We realize that trials and tribulations come the way of all of us, especially if you love us. And we realize that the tragedy of abortion, the tragedy, well, let's not say tragedy, but let's say troublesome, less than what mankind considers a desirable pregnancy, that you would help us to realize that they're all by your will.
Yes,
and that by that we prefer your will to our own.
Thank
and
you.
We would ask, Lord, that you would enable us to honor you and glorify you in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Costco. And, you know, Dr. Costco, I would say this, too, that I recall not long ago interviewing another doctor who shared how that he was saying that the majority of doctors are pro-life, that they're for life and against abortion. And I think that's a very commendable reality. There's a great need in our culture for believers to understand that certainly God wants us to pray for the ending of abortion and also to vote for life. But there's so much more the church is called to do in being a part of the work of embracing and helping these women at this difficult time. So we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. Paul Costco. He's a Christian doctor. We'll be right back. Music of Amanda Lindsay Cook, the song Still. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Paul Costco, and he's a Christian doctor. And Dr. Costco, in this last segment, I'm going to share briefly from a book. It's actually a book written by a young lady who was a guest on the broadcast recently. Her name is Amy Ford. She's the president of a ministry called Embrace Grace, and it's a wonderful ministry that comes alongside and embraces and loves and encourages women who find themselves pregnant at a difficult time in their lives. And her book is entitled A Bump in Life. And I'm reading just a segment from the book, one of the testimonies in the book, from a young lady who got pregnant at a very difficult segment of her life when she wasn't married and a very young woman. So I'm just reading a portion, but it's a powerful testimony of the church being the church in the midst of life. This is again from the book, A Bump in Life, page 21. I'm just jumping in during her story. The young lady, she's pregnant, she's not married, and her father happens to be the pastor of a church, and so this is a part of her story. It complicated things a tad bit that my father was not only a pastor, but also part of the well-known Christian group Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I was terrified that as soon as his congregation found out that I was pregnant, they would leave his church. I would only be able to hide my growing belly for a little while longer. People were already starting to talk. One Sunday morning, my father decided to put the rumors to rest. He said, "Danielle, if people want to leave my church because you got pregnant outside of marriage, then I don't want them at my church." He told his congregation that I was indeed pregnant. And not only was I pregnant, but I was going to place my baby for adoption. I felt guilty that he was the one who had to share my mistake. Then he told me what happened next. The entire church stood up and started applauding. They were applauding my father. They weren't applauding my father. They were applauding me. How could people who barely knew me support my sin? After the service, dozens and dozens of people came up to my father and showered him with encouragement. 6 months into my pregnancy, I started feeling a connection with my baby. All of a sudden, I didn't feel so alone anymore. I started questioning whether or not adoption was still the right choice for me. For a week, I prayed for the Lord to show me what He wanted me to do. But all He told me was, "You're going to be a great mother." I heard it in my heart as well as from the most unlikely sources. Again, a segment from the book, A Bump in Life by Amy Ford, the president of the ministry Embrace Grace. You know, Dr. Costco, that's such a powerful story, but again, a great example of the church seeking to be the church, the hands and feet of Jesus, and demonstrating the love of Jesus. Would you share your thoughts? What comes to mind when you hear of a church that walks in that kind of grace?
The first thing that comes to my mind is that is going to be a growing church.
Hmm.
It's going to grow, and more people are going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because we're encouraged by Scripture to act in the way that church acted.
Mm-hmm.
See how they love one another,
hmm.
and they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Yes, sir. Very much so.
Love to each other. And I guess we can rightfully say that they loved because He first loved them.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, very powerfully, and you alluded to this earlier in what you were sharing, sadly, in years gone by, too often, there were instances where a young man and a young woman would be sometimes brought before the church, specifically requested to apologize to the church for having committed sin prior to marriage. Well, the reality is that was a wrong reaction on the part of the church, because the fact is, if they were going to bring those two persons, they might as well bring everybody else up as well, because everybody else has sinned as well. And it's not like that sin was the worst sin in the world by any means. But again, Jesus's response was, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." Again, obviously the church is not condoning sin. But what the church is doing is the church is loving the person who's made a mistake. And that's what we're called to do. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us as the church to walk in love, to walk in grace, to walk in peace. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be your hands and feet. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to be able to love people where they are. Father, thank you, Lord, for the important ministry that's behind the work of pregnancy clinics in our nature and in our culture, the opportunity these ministries have of being able to come alongside and love the women who are pregnant at a challenging time in their lives, to encourage them, to help them recognize that having a baby at a difficult time is not the end of the world, that the church can come alongside and walk with them and help them in many different ways and support them through this challenging time in their lives. Help us to recognize, Lord, that that's what the church is called to be and to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Costco, I'm going to share a very familiar passage found in the Word of God. It's a familiar story for many, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to ask you to share your thoughts before we end our time today. But this is Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And Dr. Costco, you know, this parable is one of the best known parables in all of the Word of God. And at the same time, it has a powerful lesson about walking in the love of Jesus Christ. We look at, for example, obviously most believers will know that thieves are people you don't want to emulate. They rob, they steal, and they kill. But then the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan, they represent the church. But tragically, we see how that, for example, the priest, he had the frills of the church, but he didn't have the heart of the church. And then we see how that also the Levite, he too had the title and the frills and the decorations of the church, but he didn't have the heart of the church. And then we have the Samaritan. He's a believer. It doesn't appear that he has a title or a great position in the church, but he does have the heart of the church. He has the heart of God. He sees a man in need and doesn't just do a little something. He goes to great sacrifice, great effort to spend his time, his energy, his strength, what he had. He spent what he had to help this person in need. How important it is that we, the church, recognize that we're to emulate the love of Jesus and the love demonstrated by the Samaritan by sacrificially loving those in need. Any thoughts that come to mind you want to share about the parable of the Good Samaritan?
Well, yes. Obviously, what the Good Samaritan did was he kept his eyes open to what God would have him to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we see the need, then we act, and God will help us to see that need. And then we just have to not be resistant to God trying to show us the way. When we see young people struggling with unwanted pregnancy, we need to be ready to be a blessing to them and them be a blessing to us.
That's right.
And we'll be in God's will if we do.
That's right. That's right. And again, the fact is, love is a verb. It's something we do. It's not just a word that we say. And it involves our actions. And, of course, one of the many beauties and lessons of the parable of the Good Samaritan is that this man, in spite of it appears being on his way somewhere like the others, he took his time, his energy, his effort, and his money, and he helped this man not just a little bit, but sacrificially. And the reality is we live in a culture, even often in church circles, where people strive to be comfortable and to not do that which causes them to sacrifice. And the fact is, if we're going to follow Jesus, we must live sacrificially. That's just a part of the calling, you know. But Dr. Costco, our time is almost gone. Any last words of encouragement that you'd share with the believers about the importance of the church being a vessel of the love and the mercy and compassion of Jesus?
Let's do it this way. Let's just say that we all need to do more than we're doing,
mm-hmm.
that there are opportunities to serve the kingdom, and we just need to keep our eyes open, our hearts open, and learn to love one another, especially those who are struggling.
Mm. Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Dr. Costco. Thank you so much again for sharing your thoughts and your heart as well. In the last few minutes of our broadcast, I want to say to all of our listeners, there may be someone listening to the broadcast today who it may be a young lady out there who finds herself pregnant at this time, at a difficult time in your life. We invite you to get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. You can contact us or contact your local pregnancy clinic, because that's what they're there for, to help you at this difficult time. But if there's someone listening who's never made the all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart, remember, Jesus really is the answer to all of our problems, all of our difficulties. He's the answer to everything in life. If you'd like to pray and ask Christ into your life, would you simply pray this prayer with me before we close today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I repent of all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. And Lord, right now I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen, brother.
And if you prayed that prayer, we invite you to email us again. We'd like to be in touch with you and share with you some resources that will encourage you in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, jparker@afa.net. We hope to hear from you. Dr. Costco, Dr. Paul Costco has been our guest today. Dr. Costco, thank you for being with us and sharing your heart today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, sir. And I invite you to pray for Dr. Costco and pray for all believers that are seeking to be bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the cause of life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.